Welcome to Hillside Baptist Church Podcast. We are a church that is committed to preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it is our privilege to open God's Word with you. It is our prayer that you receive the message from the man of God with an open heart. That through God's Word, you are encouraged and equipped to face life's challenges. But most importantly, it is our prayer that you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you haven't already. If you'd like to connect with us, you can do so at hillsidebc.com, find us on Facebook, or send us an email at info@hillsidebc.com. We hope that you benefit from today's message and that you would share it with a friend. But let's now open our hearts and God's Word.
Well, join with me. We're going to be in our Bibles once again, but we're going to do a little bit of just sharing some things about mining for gold tonight. Specifically, I love tools. Anybody like tools in here? I told my wife years ago, I said, listen, I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't even run around with those who do. I said, but I like to buy tools. I don't know how that justifies it, but it does in my mind. Listen, but if you ever dig a foundation, anybody ever had to dig a foundation for a home or a building? And if you try to dig a foundation and you use your hands, can you do it? Yeah, you could do it. I mean, if you were determined enough, you could get your hands out there and you scoop out the dirt. Maybe in Missouri it might take you forever, a lifetime, but you could finally dig a foundation. But what might help is if you have maybe a shovel, right? And now you could go a lot faster with a shovel and you can dig a foundation. But man, if you're really smart, you go down to General Rent and you rent one of them bad boys and you get her done in about a day, right? Having the right tools matters. And this is true, especially in when we talk about Bible study as well. If we had an encyclopedic knowledge of the Bible and we had the perfect memory where we never forgot anything, then listen, we wouldn't need a Bible study tool. But the problem is we don't have that. And so we need the right kind of Bible study tools. Because we don't have those abilities, we need some tools that help us. So help me out real quick at the beginning. What are some Bible study tools you're familiar with? Yes. A Strong's Concordance. Good. We're going to use that tonight. Good. What did you say back there? Commentaries. Those are good tools. Yes, Sherry. Dictionaries. That's very good. You got to understand what things mean. What else? Yes. Ryrie Study Bible or Ryrie Theology Book. One or the other, both great. Good. What?
I have both.
Yes, good. Sister Tawny?
I have an app that helps me pronounce all the names in the Bible.
Good. I think I need that app. Good. You know, there's a lot of different tools. We're going to look at some of those tools tonight and just trying to familiarize yourself with them. I brought some paper copies. Obviously, we're in a big room right there, but so you won't be able to necessarily see those. But also, I wanted to show you some electronic tools as well, things that you can put on your phone or your iPad or your computer and be able to do a better Bible study. I remind you that we're in three parts of Bible study is what we're looking at. I think we've got a thing here. It's called observation is what we've been dealing with lately, and it is the most important part. In observation, we ask some questions. Who, what, when, where, how, why, how, right? We're going to ask use those six serving men, and then your Bible study tools are going to help you then to answer the questions you formulate in the observation area. The next part is interpretation. We'll be there next week. And then the last part is application. And if you mess up at the very beginning and you don't get the observation correct, then the next two are also skewed, and which means that you can come up with something that isn't quite what God intended in your Bible study. And we'll look at some examples of how that happens later in the message today. So we're going to look first off at some basic tools for Bible study. And really, I am thankful we live in the information age because it is added to the number of tools that we have. And most of the tools that we have are in paper format or maybe electronic format. And I'll show both of those. And so we're going to show you some of these tonight. And so let me see if I can get this pulled up. And we're going to start right out of the box with some of these electronic tools here tonight. So I think there it is. All right. So I don't know how well you can see that. This is called Blue Letter Bible. It's online. You can also download the app, which is what I've done on the iPad. And there's some great things about this particular one is, for example, you click the 6 there for Philippians 1:6, because we're going to be looking at this in a moment. And you're going to see several different tools that come up on this particular app. Interlinear Concordance, for example. You can touch that and it pulls up, hopefully. And you can look at all of these different things. It'll even pronounce these words for you in the Greek so that you can understand how to say them. I should practice that more often. But we can also see you can touch confident, for example, and it pulls up scriptures like a concordance of where those are going to be found. All right, so we're going to tap out of that. So that's one option. Blue Letter Bible is a great option for you if you're looking for a free Bible study software. The downside with this is it is dependent upon Wi-Fi, but it is totally, completely free. The next one I want to show you is called eSword. Now, I've got this one set up in different window panes. And so, good, it pulled up just fine. And so with this particular one, there's a lot of different resources, and this is even more powerful if you have a PC. It's not available for Mac, but it is available for your PC, and there are so many resources. You can download commentaries, and you can and Strong's Concordance, and the King James Bible, and at the bottom left pane, you'll notice it says KJV Plus, and so there is this, so you can actually see automatically where they have placed in there the Greek, the Strong's Concordant numbers. So for the G3928, you push that, and it gives you the occurrences, and you scroll up, and it gives you some definitions, Strong's definition, Thayer's definition, some different things to make it a little easier in your Bible study. So those are some great tools. One last one is a paid version, and that one cost, I think, $1.99 or something for iPad. This last one is called Logos. It is by far my favorite Bible study software. I use it every day, but it is expensive, does cost. So not one that I always recommend for people to buy, but the potential for what this can do is almost limitless. I think that's all I'm going to do for that for right now, Brian. So we're going to talk about, I want to just introduce some of these things, and somebody's mentioned some of these already, but I want to just really open your eyes to the fact that that there are some tools available for you, and there should be some tools that you have on your shelf, whether your shelf is the iPad, or if you're kind of old school and you like to have paper in your pocket or on your bookshelf. This here is Strong's Concordance, which is one of the most important tools that you can buy is this right here. And we'll look at how that works in just a moment. But if you want to start with any one area, a good go-to is a good study Bible. And this is a first great tool to purchase. Along with God's Word, it includes typically a condensed concordance in the back. It has outlines of each book, so you can see how they flow, commentaries on the text, has some word explanations in the back, a glossary. Typically, there's some maps in the back, so if you're studying the life of Paul, you can go and find where he's traveled, or maybe you're in Genesis and you want to see where the different places Abraham traveled to are referenced there in the map. And there's also, sometimes there's doctrinal articles, there's cross-reference indexing systems, there's all kinds of things that are smushed between two covers in a good Bible study or study Bible. So a good one that I recommend is a Ryrie Study Bible. It's very good. It's very Baptistic in doctrine. And so not all study Bibles are created equal. And I'll remind you that a lot of study Bibles are going to have some commentary at the bottom, and the commentary is not inspired by God, okay? Just the Word of God is inspired. Remember, it's a tool we can use and reference, but it is not the end all because man makes mistakes, but God never does. All right, so that's the very first tool that I would encourage you, if you don't have a good study Bible, that you can purchase one of those. And then the second tool would be the Exhaustive Concordance. And this is a very important tool. In here, there's some things that you can learn about words. Words matter. And we realize this is important as well in our society around us. And this is very, very simple to use. If there's a word that you're looking up, you can go into the concordance. You can find everywhere that it's used in the Bible. And so, for example, you saw me pull open on the app a while ago, Ephesians 1:6, and the word confident. And that word confident comes up in multiple places in the Bible. And so it would show you all the different places in the Bible. And it even shows Greek words or Hebrew a numbering system that Strong has created so that you can reference the definitions that are in the back of this. And so in the back, you have a dictionary for these particular words. So how do we do this? What do we do with this particular one? Well, I'm going to show you what you'll typically see when you open up Strong's Concordance, and we're going to look at we're not there yet. That's going to be in the next part. We'll look at that in a moment. So other tools that you can also look at. Word study tools are very important, and so the Complete Word Study New Testament by Spyros, this is a great one. Vines is one of my favorites. It's a go-to. It's a Vines Complete Expository Dictionary of Old and New Testaments by W. Vine. Fantastic. Reference system. And then Expository Dictionary of Bible Words by Larry Richards is another good one. A Greek English Lexicon is a great tool. But that one's not quite as maybe important as some of the other previous ones that I've mentioned. Another one that would be very handy because we use the King James Bible is a Webster's 1828 Dictionary. It's a very super handy to be able to look up how they used words. This is the very first English dictionary we have, and so it's very handy to look it up words, as well as a Treasury of Scripture Knowledge. Now, if you're not familiar with a TSK, it is a great concordance of being able to just look up any verse in the Bible, and then it gives you other verses in the Scriptures. And so I don't know if I have that on. Let me pull this up real quick. I meant to do this beforehand. So let me pull up Blue Letter Bible again, and I think we can go to this verse, and then you're going to see cross-references, and it says TSK on there, about the third down there, and then you're going to be able to go through each part of this verse, confidence, different scriptures that have that allude to this, and so you can look at this and say 2 Corinthians 1:15, and in this confidence I was minded to come unto you before, and 2 Corinthians 2:3, and I wrote this same unto you when I came to you, I should have sorrow for them and having confidence in you all. So you can see how it begins to just lay out for you the different places in scripture that it references. Now, the TSK does not go off of the Strong's numbers, so it's not a guarantee that it's the same Greek word, but you can begin to build in your mind, how does this word, is it used in the Scripture? In a moment, we're going to look at a passage and we'll actually try to show you how to do a word study, because that's what this deals with. Another important one someone mentioned a while ago was a commentary. Commentaries on the Bible have been around for hundreds of years, but not all commentaries are created equal, because a commentary is only as good as the author's education and his skills. And some commentaries are written before people who are looking to do more in-depth word study. Some are more application style. And so they're written for different audiences. And so if you have one that's written maybe for a theologian, it's going to include some of the references to original languages and may not glean as much from that if you don't speak the language. And so some that I would recommend that I like a lot is John Phillips' commentary. He is incredibly insightful, but he's also is very very applicable in his teaching. Walvoord and Zuck put out the Bible Knowledge Commentary. It's a great two-volume commentary on the entire Bible. Warren Wiersbe put out the Bible Exposition Commentary. This is one of a six-part series, fantastic set, and Warren Wiersbe has done a great work there. Also, some things that you can have in your library are things like Bible atlases. Now, you say, well, I have atlases in the back of my Bible. Bible atlases are going to include things, not only just maps, but some other cultural and other background things that you can include as you read through the text and learn a little bit more about maybe the time of the Exodus or the time of Moses. And so, again, a very good one is Baker's, one that I would recommend there. Bible encyclopedias are also extremely handy. So I have Bible Encyclopedia here. So if you're looking up somebody's name, I say, I want to look up who was Jezebel. And I can go back in my here and I can look up Jezebel's name and I can read about her life and where she's mentioned in the Scripture. Now, there's other works that deal with people in the Bible that you can also purchase. I believe it's Lockyer has an extensive set of just every woman in the Bible, every man in the Bible, different things that you can add. But an encyclopedia is going to include a lot of different things for you. There are also some illustrated encyclopedias that you can also get and see some of these things. But I will point out, because of technology today, it does make it a lot easier to be able to just to download some of this and not have to have this on your bookshelf. The electronic version is going to be able to cut down on the time immensely from having to look up, for example, in Strong's. I look up the word, find the Strong's number that's associated with the word in that passage, and then I go all the way to the back and I look up the definition, or then I have to look through each one of those. The electronic version is going to save you a ton of time. But whether it's with your phone, your tablet, however your brain processes things, these tools are going to be extremely helpful in helping you to understand what the Word of God says. Remember, we're still observing. What does God's Word say? That's what we want to do. So remember, in the observation step, one of the things that we do is we want to make sure that we ask questions about the text. Who, what, when, where, why, how, those questions, those six serving men, are something we're going to use as we observe the Scriptures. And so you have questions, so now we want to do the second part, and that's answer those questions. And so that's where these Bible study tools come into a great, become a great help. For example, and once you reach the point that you've got to define a word, I don't know what concupiscence means. Well, that's a great place to pick up your Strong's, or you pick up maybe Vine's Expository Dictionary there, and you pick up one of these tools and you can learn and see what these words mean in the Bible. And so these are great tools to have in those moments. But maybe you are in a geographical area, you don't know anything about this area. You say, where is Macedonia? And then you can go to these maps and you can an atlas and find, oh, I see Macedonia is a region, and in that region are places like Philippi and other places like that, so on Thessalonica. So we can learn about the text that we're studying with the tools if we'll take some time and, one, purchase the tools. Don't be afraid to buy some of these things for your library and have these on your shelf at home and on your or on your computer where you can easily study God's Word. Because listen, God wants each of us to be students of His Word. And remember, the Bible says study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so we want to be willing to study. So let's do that. Let's do a word study together tonight. And so we're going to jump in Philippians 1:6. So grab your Bibles, Philippians 1:6, because word studies are essential in Bible study. If you don't know what the words mean, you cannot understand what the sentences or the paragraphs in which they're included means. And so the purpose of a word study is to understand how the writer and the original recipients would have understood the term. It's not just what do you mean about understand about this term, but what did they mean? For example, now if I said the word trunk, what are some things that come to your mind? Don't show the slide. He cheated. What are some things that come to your mind when I say the word trunk? What's it? An elephant. Good. Someone else. A tree trunk. A trunk like goes at the end of your bed. You put your clothes in. Good. What else?
Car
trunk. Good. Let's show that up there. So when you say the word trunk, there's a lot of different things. I got John Wayne up there because the trunk of a body. Okay. So I was just I just thought he was cool. So I put his picture up there. All right, and he's got a big trunk of a body. So, anyways, so these are some different ideas. If you just say the word trunk immediately, and you don't have the context around it, you don't understand what the original person, what the person was saying, or start with, then you can come up with all kinds of definitions, and it may not even be exactly what was intended. And so you can associate these definitions with the word trunk. But listen, it's not going to be necessarily all six of them that is applicable to the conversation. For example, in the sentence, he placed the coat in the trunk. Well, that could still be two different trunks in that picture, right? It could be a car trunk, or it could be the clothes trunk at the end of the bed. So in a concordance, what we're going to do with this is we're going to start our Bible study with something very simple, and that's going to be with the word study. So we're going to look up the word and that we need information about, and the listings are going to be alphabetical in this. So let's look in Philippians 1:6 in our Bibles. Just bear with me. I'll be there in just a second. Philippians 1:6. And as we look there, we're going to look in, let's read it together. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. We're going to look at this word confident right out of the box. Now, if we think about the word confident, there's a lot of different things that we could come up with about what confidence is. But if you open up a Strong's Concordance, you're going to find the word confident very simply listed. And I think this is the listings for the word confident that I typed out that I found in my Strong's Concordance. And so the very first one is Psalms 27 and verse number 3. And then it gives you a little quote of what's in that. So against me, in this will I be, C stands for confident. And then it gives you the Greek number 982. And then Proverbs 14:15, you can read through each of these, and the far right side is always that Greek number. And if it's an Old Testament word, it's a Hebrew number. And so we understand then that each of these then can be very beneficial as we look down through there. So we're looking for Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing. All right, so that Greek number is 3982. That's Philippians 1:14 has the same word there, waxing confident by my bonds. And so, and then also if you look up to Romans 2:19, it says, art confident that thou thyself. Okay, so we see there's a couple other places that the same Greek word is used in this situation. And so there's a couple of things we can notice. One, we see all the occurrences of confidence in the Bible that are mentioned. Variations of the word like confidently or confidence, those are going to be listed separately. But also, you can note the reference where the occurrence may be found. And then also, thirdly, we can see the phrase in which the word occurs is cited. And then fourthly, we see that number, the Greek or Hebrew number that is associated there. Now, in Strong's, what you're going to find is in the back, you have both a Hebrew and a Greek dictionary in the back of these tools. Now, most of that's going to be all tied together in the app if you're using an app version of that. But when you examine those eight occurrences of confidence in the English Bible, you're going to see that seven of them are in the New Testament. The Greek word 3982 is the one that's used for Romans 2:19, Philippians 1:6, Philippians 1:14. And then you can examine other lists nearby and learn a little bit more. You can maybe see where those are also used, where that 3982 is also used like in confidently or maybe confidence or confidences. And you, in just a few minutes then, you can begin to determine every occurrence where that Greek word 3982 is translated, and you can begin to see and begin to make note of how it's used and the context of it, and begin to glean a little bit on your own what this word means. Now, we take that, once we have that Greek word, so we know it's 3982, then I can turn all the way in the back to the back to the dictionary, 3982, and then I can go back here and I can read this definition. And there's some things about the definition. Did I get a picture, a slide of the definition, Brian? I may have forgotten it. All right, I think I forgot it. Well, in the definition, there's going to be several things that you're going to notice, first off. And in the very first thing is going to be the number right there, right out of the box. And then it's going to give you the Greek word, pytho. It's going to give you the English transliteration and then the pronunciation, so you can not sound like your pastor and you can actually sound like you know what you're talking about. And then it's going to give you what tense it is, okay? So it's a primary verb. And then it's going to give you a definition, to convince by argument, true or false. And then it just goes on and tells you a little bit about the word, how it's used and different things in this word confident. All right, so it's a very simple way to learn some things about your Bible. So if you run across a word, maybe you're doing your daily Bible reading and you run across a word and you say, man, I don't know what this word means. A lot of times what I'll do is I'll just, in my notepad beside my Bible reading, I'll write down this word, Philippians 1:6, confident. and then I will finish reading the context, and then I will go back through and try to see if I can discern from the context what the word means, and then I can open up some of my tools that I have to be able to learn about this one word and see how it works in the text that I'm studying. Listen, this is a very, very important process in the Bible study because we can learn so much about each of the words that God's Word has given. Remember, we believe that every word of the Bible is inspired and that we can trust God's Word. And so we ought to take some time to be confident in what the Bible says. So, if you want to do an exhaustive word study, you can look up every single occurrence of that 3982 and look at how it's doing. But listen, don't jump to conclusions about the word definition just based on some insights, some very briefly going through. Take some time, do the good study and learn, and you're going to grow as a result of this. And we look at this big context of where it's at, and we'll grow deeper in our understanding of God's Word. Now, I want to give you an example of not allowing context to be your guide. Remember, a few weeks ago, we were talking about the importance of context. And context is so important because if we don't use context, then we have bad interpretation and bad application. One example is Colossians 1:15. The Bible says that Jesus is the firstborn of every creature. He says, speaking of Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Now, a study of the word firstborn shows that the term can refer either to someone who is literally born first or to someone who has the status of a firstborn, even if the person didn't come into existence at the same point in the at some point in the past. So what we see then is that that where you place the emphasis, if you ignore the context is going to tell you where to place the emphasis, what this definition means. For example, Jehovah's Witness ignore the context of Colossians 1:15, and they interpret then this word firstborn to mean that Jesus was born in the sense that he came into existence at some point in the past. So their interpretation does not fit the context of Colossians 1:15. And so if you were to read through Colossians 1, you would see very clearly that Christ is eternal. But instead, they take it out of context. They don't apply it to the remainder of Scripture. For example, John 1:1-2. And the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Christ has always been. He didn't come into being when Mary birthed him. Instead, what we see is that Christ has always existed. That's why when you do a word search, when you do a word study, you must take time as well to discover the context. The context matters in all of this. So, just quickly, obviously, that error is a big deal. And the Jehovah's Witnesses have constructed an entire set of false doctrines on this faulty interpretation. The second, so we see a board study. The next one is a biographical study. Now, these can be fun. This is just learning about someone. If there's someone in your text, Sister Sherry Baskin has written a book that is all entirely about obscure women in the Bible, and it's nothing but biographical studies over and over and over again. But if you want to do a biographical study, you can do one of two things. You can grab your Strong's and you can look up where that person's name is throughout the Bible. You can also grab a Bible encyclopedia and you can open it up and you begin to look in all the different places where that person's name is. And you can begin to build a summary of who that person is and what their background is, where they came from, and you can learn a lot about them. Now, you must also be careful because there's more than one Judases, there's more than one Simons, there's multiple people in the Bible with the same name, so you have to make sure you're paying attention to the person that you're curious about, the one that you're reading in the Bible. So word studies, biographical studies, but also geographical and historical background studies. Now this is the next one. If the writer refers to a place, let's say the Apostle Paul, he says that there was a time where he wanted to go into Asia, but he received a call from a man in Macedonia. And you're like, where in the world is Macedonia? And so you said, well, I want to learn about this. And so you can go to your tools. Once again, not every place that is mentioned in the Bible is significant, but many of them are. And what we can do is do a little bit of geographical location and in an atlas or in the maps in the back of your Bible and learn about these places that have been mentioned in the Bible. That's why your study Bibles will include some maps in the back. Most even the beginner Bibles will have some sort of a map in the back, just so you can begin to see some of the places that the Bible mentions. So Bible atlases, dictionaries, encyclopedias, they all have geographical information. And these tools have indexes. So if, for example, if you're in your study Bible, mine has an index to the Scripture Atlas right here. And you can begin to just go through and look for the different town or the different area that you want to find. And so you can go to Antioch, for example, in this Bible. It says map 2, C4. And then you can go and you can look up exactly where that is located in the map. Now, these are very helpful in your Bible study, because then you can begin to understand where the writer is from, where the listener is from. And then you can begin to read a little bit about maybe Rome at the time, if you're studying the book of Romans, how their government was set up, what kind of animosity they had toward Christians, and how that played a role in the writing of the book of Romans. Or maybe just where was Paul at the time of the writing of Romans? And you can find that location and how that may have influenced him. And so you can see a lot of these different things will help you to be able to answer the questions of who, what, where, when, how, why. And as we answer those questions, we have a broad view of what the Scripture says. And when we see what the Bible says, then we can take the next step and to be able to begin to interpret what the Bible says. So then we'll talk about that more next time. But interpretation is a literal, we want to have a literal interpretation of what the Bible says. But it all starts with good observation. I want to see what the Bible says. Now, as we look deeper into Bible study, I would urge you to be willing to invest in good tools. I like tools. I'm a toolaholic, and I'm not going to Reformed class or anything like that. I want to continue to be a good toolaholic and use the tools that God's given me. And I want to encourage you to buy tools, have them available, teach your children how to use the tools so that you can better interpret and apply the Word of God to your life. Remember, the Bible is the source of all hope and clear direction in this life. Colossians chapter 3, verses 15 through 17 says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." You see, the Bible has all the information that we need, well, everything we need for daily living about the Lord, and He has revealed it and called us to live according to His purpose. But too many of us, we have a casual approach when it comes to the Bible. And so God's called us not just to carry it with us to church, but to open it every day, to be in it, and to be able to digest what God has for us. George Mueller observed this: "The vigor of our spiritual life will be in exact proportion to the place held by the Bible in our life and thoughts." You see, there needs to be more Bible reading, more Bible study, more Bible memory, more Bible meditation in our life. And nothing is more important than to our spiritual health and well-being than the Bible. Because the Bible is our guide, our spiritual food, our strength, our corrector, our comfort. And the Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable." Listen, it's not something that should just be cast aside. We're on Wednesday night, we understand that. And so it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, listen to the purpose, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And so God says, listen, I've given you my word. I have made it available for you, church. And it's not just for the preacher, but for all of us to be able to get into and to digest and let God's word be part of our lives.
Thank you so much for joining us today. It is such a privilege to share God's word with you. If God has spoken to your heart because of the message, stop right now and respond to whatever it is God is asking of you. Don't wait another minute. You can pray right where you're at and ask God for His help. If this message has helped you in any way, we would love to hear from you. Let us know if you have any questions or we can help you with your decision. Jesus asked His disciples, "Who do ye say that I am?" And He offers the same question to you today. What would your answer be?